Studio 360.
It's hard to know what exactly makes any sort of creative artist ready to declare a piece of work finished. Or what accounts for especially productive runs while they're working on pieces. Those uncanny minutes or hours of focus when you're so immersed in what you're writing or painting that the rest of existence just sort of melts away. How does all that work? That's what Heather Berlin tries to figure out. She's a cognitive scientist at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, studying the neuroscience of imagination and creativity. A couple of years ago, when I was trying to meet the deadline for my book Fantasyland, I invited Heather into the studio to talk about all this stuff. And I started by asking her point blank, why is it so hard sometimes to finish a creative project?
People come in with these grand and great and interesting ideas, and you have to say, well, there's that, and that's really interesting, but there's also the practical aspect is you want something that's right. going to be feasible to do in this given amount right. of time right. that you have. And it's very hard when we have our ideas to let go of them, but to maybe say, it's okay if I don't touch upon all these things and just let it go.
Not that I want to medicate myself, but what are those medicines that make one more creative, theoretically?
I mean, there's really no prescribed medication.
You'd have a good practice if you did that.
Yeah, I should start thinking about that. There are medications which are called cognitive enhancements that can help you become more productive, but productivity doesn't necessarily correlate with creativity.
Right.
So there is no real magic pill.
Will we get there, though? If we can, we will. Will we?
I mean, some people think that certain psychedelic drugs,
right.
things like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Those
so you're telling me to drop acid?
Not acid, but maybe a little mushrooms.
Okay.
It could, you know, just help you think a little bit outside the box. I mean, whenever you get your brain in a different brain state, you're going to have different types of thoughts, and you might make novel connections that you didn't think of before.
For sure. So when we are being creative, what is happening in the brain, both what you can measure and in general? What do we know about what the brain is doing when we're being creative?
So there are different types of creativity. So we know a little bit about what's happening when you're being spontaneously creative or sort of in the moment improvising. So what you're having is basically an increase in the internal generation of ideas. It's coming from within. You don't need any external stimulus for this. And a decrease in a part of your brain that has to do with your inner critic, your sense of self, your filter system that has to do with making sure that you conform to social norms. So you're in a state of this free flow.
If we can define it a little more narrowly, when a composer is composing or a painter painting or a writer writing.
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue is, you know, how do you define creativity?
Yes.
And that's been one of the kind of blocks for being able to study this
right.
phenomena in the lab. But recently, there's been some creative ways that we can look at creativity. And that's by putting artists in an fMRI machine and
right.
looking what's happening when they're actually creating something.
Right. But what does that tell us about creativity?
I'll give you an example. Some of the preliminary studies have looked at rappers when they're rapping. So you have a rapper in an fMRI machine doing a memorized piece, and then he's doing an improvised piece.
Yeah. This is your work, right?
This original study was done by Charles Lim and his group, and now we're looking at a larger group of rappers and looking at audience feedback as
uh-huh.
well. And there was another study which also looked at jazz musicians when they're doing memorized versus improvised playing on a keyboard in a scanner. There seems to be what's emerging is a certain pattern of activation when people are in that improvising state compared to the memorized state.
Uh-huh.
And
the same people doing essentially the same thing, although they're making it up as they go along in one case.
Exactly, exactly. So in one case, it's we show them random images and they have to incorporate
those. Oh, so they have to do improv.
Yeah, exactly. It has to make sense. It has to rhyme. It has to stay on beat. It's quite a complex cognitive task to do. So it involves lots of parts of the brain.
And I get that. And mm-hmm. and so what are you finding when they're actually improvising versus just reciting a thing that they've already written?
So what we find is the difference between these two states, the memorized and the improvised states, is that when they're improvising, there tends to be a pattern of activation where they have decreased activation in a part of the brain called the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. And that part of the brain has to do with your sense of self, your sort of inner critic, making sure that your behavior forms to social norms.
So when they're improvising, that does what differently?
Basically, you lose your sense of self, uh-huh. right? And also that filter, which says, okay, you know, these novel associations, that's not logical. You kind of release your inhibition. The second you become too self-aware, that kind of comes back online and you lose that flow state.
Right.
The other thing was that they had increased activation in a part of the brain called the medial prefrontal cortex. It has to do with the internal generation of ideas. So it's coming from within, combined with this kind of freedom, this lack of inhibition. And together, that can lead to these very creative moments.
And so flow states, when they happen, is there a range or is it usually a matter of minutes as long as the set lasts or if you're writing for 10 minutes? Because many of us have experienced what we believe to be flow states when we're doing whatever creative work we do. Often you don't know because suddenly, an hour passed. I didn't know mm-hmm. that. Is there a range?
It definitely varies. And it doesn't have to just be when you're in the flow state in a creative state. So for example, if people are engrossed in like rock climbing athletic activity,
yes.
they can enter the state.
Sex, I suppose.
Yeah, where you lose your sense of self and you do get decreased activation in dorsolateral prefrontal cortex.
That's what I always say during sex.
And right away it takes.
Artists of various kinds talk about creative block. Is that a real thing or is that just a kind of catch-all for I'm having a hard time working?
Yeah, I mean, I think it means it's one and the same thing, you know, or, you know, some people when they're in that flow state, a lot of people say it feels like it's flowing through me. It's coming from someplace else. You know, it's coming so naturally, I don't even have to think about it. But if you can't get into that flow state and you're too, let's say, cognizant about it. So it's called deliberation without attention. You can only keep a certain number of variables in mind when you're thinking about something consciously. But if you let it go, you actually can come to a greater understanding because the unconscious can do much more complex processing.
Really? So it's like the elves doing the shoemaker's shoes in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, I mean, creative people, it's like, you know, okay, you have to take in all the information go for a walk, go out, do something else. Because those people sit there and just obsess over thinking about it too much, using your prefrontal cortex, you're actually limiting yourself.
Right.
So letting it go can actually help you get over, let's say, a writer's block
right.
or a creative block.
Heather Berlin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Heather Berlin is a cognitive neuroscientist and a professor of psychiatry at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York.